The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The fourth Sunday of Easter, every single year, is celebrated as the Sunday of the Shepherd. In fact, the Sunday of the Good Shepherd. So year upon year, on this fourth week of Easter, we begin our reflections of the week with those words of the Lord, I am the good shepherd. It's a remarkably important and ancient image that Jesus uses here. In fact, one of the original images of the God of Israel was that he is the one who shepherds his people. And through the history of the people of God, the idea of the shepherd has been connected to the reality of the governance and the care of the people. In fact, David the king was tending the flocks of his father before he was anointed to succeed Saul as king of Israel. And again, note the image of the king, the one who will rule as the one who is first a shepherd before he is a king. And it's this image that the Lord is invoking as he speaks to his disciples in our gospel reading today. This statement that I am the good shepherd. And it relates directly to the care of the people. This idea of the shepherd caring for the flock is so very important. It's where the word pastor, as the priest in charge of a parish, comes from. The shepherd who cares for that local flock entrusted to him. And so as we ponder this, we recognize that there's something that the Lord is trying to say about just how it is he manages this people of his very own. And first, he contrasts himself with the one who is not a shepherd at all. And note the characteristic. The good shepherd, the true shepherd, is willing to lay down his life for his flock. And just pause on that for a moment and ask yourself, for whom would you be willing to lay down your life? It's a sobering question. It's a sobering question. And note then, the shepherd is the one with a certain greatness, a certain status, a certain authority, and he's not first and foremost the one who governs his flock. He is not first and foremost the one who feeds his flock. He is not first and foremost the one who leads his flock. He is the one who is personally invested with his life in his flock. The good shepherd lays down his life. Note how important and how decisive this statement of the Lord is. The difference between true and false, between good and bad, can be summed up in that simple statement, the true shepherd, the good shepherd, is the one who lays down his life for the good of his flock. The hireling, the one who is not a true shepherd, the one who looks for a wage, the one who looks for repayment, is that one whose life is not truly invested. Rather, his relationship with the flock is predicated on what he receives in return, on what he gets out of it. But the good shepherd does not first look for a return on his kindness. The good shepherd is simply kind. The good shepherd simply cares. Whether the sheep reward the shepherd or not is not the important thing. Whether the salary is paid on time is not the important thing. Because the good shepherd is not looking for that. The good shepherd has one preoccupation, and that is the good of the flock. And note how this contrasts with other earthly and lesser ideas of leadership, of kingship, of authority, where often it is the leader who advances himself, who enriches himself, who favors a certain part of his flock over others, but whose real concern is the strengthening and the maintaining of his own position. I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. And the good shepherd is the one whose primary concern is not his personal advancement, nor his personal well-being, nor his personal status, but whose concern is the quality of his investment in those who are entrusted to his care. What a remarkably beautiful image the Lord places before us, an image which is only truly and rightly fulfilled in him. All of us are lesser shepherds. All of us are not so good. And yet he is that one whose investment is pure, whose giving of himself is total, complete, and ungrudging. And as we reflect on this, we realize something else about this image of the shepherd. Oftentimes, we can fall into the trap of a static way of thinking. The shepherd has his flock. He leads his flock out. He brings it back. He takes care of the flock to keep it safe. And that's true, but it's a half-truth. The essence of a true shepherd is not simply that he cares for the flock, not simply that he feeds his flock, but that he leads his flock from the place where it is to that place where it must go. And this is the great image of the Lord. As a shepherd who is on the move with his flock, not simply at home in the corral with his flock. Rather, the flock of the Lord is already on the move in the world and through time. And the good shepherd is also the one who knows what the final destination is, who knows what the right destination is. The good shepherd and the true shepherd knows the way to that field where the flock will finally be at home, where the flock will finally be at peace, where the flock can finally settle with no worry and no concern. And the good shepherd is concerned about guiding his flock there. And note how powerful that is. It is not simply a matter of keeping things safe where they are, of keeping us safe where we are. It is the Lord reminding us we are in fact on the move and we are going someplace together with Him. The Lord doesn't come simply to remain with us where we are, but to bring us from where we are, however good or however troubled that position may be, to where we need to go. And His keeping of the flock safe is the way He protects that flock as it moves forward, as it moves from where it is to where it is going. And as the flock faces the unknown dangers that lie ahead of it on the road, it is the shepherd who leads it, who goes forward, and who meets those dangers first on behalf of his flock. And the shepherd who feeds his flock is not simply the one who stops the flock at a certain place that it might eat at the end of the day. It's that one who knows how to feed his flock in a way that allows it to regain its strength so that it continue moving forward. Note how wonderful that is. The good shepherd and the true shepherd knows along the way where and how to give his flock food. And this is his concern. The good shepherd along the way, as we hear in the psalm, leads the way by streams of living waters. The good shepherd knows how to give his flock to drink. The good shepherd knows how to cleanse his flock in water that washes it truly clean. And this is what the Lord is saying of himself. This is how I lead you. Not merely by asserting a certain authority over you, not merely by giving myself status or giving any of you status and position, but by investing myself in getting you, each and every one, to where we need to go, in feeding you, each and every one, with that one and only food that can strengthen you toward eternity, in giving you to drink of the living and true waters of grace, that you might be refreshed even as you move forward. And as we recognize all of this, we see that the Lord is doing what we ask for in our opening prayer for today's Mass. And once again, as we've stressed from time to time, during Easter and Lent, the special seasons of the year, it is a good habit to get into reading and paying attention to the opening prayer of the Mass, because it often asks for a very particular grace, which summarizes beautifully the mystery that we are celebrating on any given Sunday. And today, the prayer asks for something curiously beautiful. It asks for the Lord to give us a sharing in the joys of heaven today, so that we who are the flock may arrive at the destination where the shepherd has already gone before us. But note the implication. The good shepherd gives his flock a taste of the joy that awaits it before it gets there. And this is how the Lord strengthens and feeds and waters his flock, how he protects and nourishes his flock. It is recognizing that the joy of heaven is not just a reality that waits for us in the future, but something mysteriously we can be given a taste of even today. It's not the full taste, but it's a real taste. And this taste of the joy that strengthens us and allows us to move forward is also a mark of the sign of that greater joy that waits for us when the shepherd brings us to the end of our journey. And this is why often in Catholic cemeteries one will find an image of Christ the Good Shepherd. And it's a reminder that through this life and even beyond the end of life, the Good Shepherd leads his flock. And the Good Shepherd who lays down his life and suffers death for his flock is the one who rises, not simply for himself, but so that his flock can go with him into the joy of heaven that waits for us. What a remarkable promise that is. And how beautiful that we can hear this promise of the Lord in this place. Because in just a few minutes, the Good Shepherd is going to be right here. And note how marvelous this is. Under the appearances of bread and wine, he will be on this altar. And note what we see. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his flock. And that happens right here each and every Sunday. He lays down his life to make himself available to you and to me. And here in this place, he feeds his flock. And he gives his flock to drink. Not with merely earthly sustenance and earthly nourishment, but with himself. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for you and for me, for us, his flock. He feeds us with not some lesser good, but with the very greatest of goods, himself. And note, when we come forward to be fed by him today, when we come forward to be strengthened and renewed by him today, we stretch out our hands, and as we receive the sacred host in Holy Communion, we are quite literally receiving a foretaste of the joys of heaven, held in your hand, small, and yet there, real, Christ himself. And note how wonderful that gift is. He lays down his life that we may be fed even into heaven itself. I am the Good Shepherd, and how great indeed it is that we have the joy of naming ourselves and numbering ourselves among the flock of that one who is the greatest of all shepherds. Amen.
Amen. Amen.